Well, good morning, church. And good morning to you, Lord. Well, this is Labor Day weekend, and according to the U.S. Department of Labor website, I'm a week ahead, aren't I? Never mind. It's not Labor Day weekend.
Pretty soon.
I'll save this sermon for next week. I've had trouble with this, I guess because it's so close to so early. I've had trouble with, anyway, I have not done well with Labor Day this week, this year. Anyway, in the church, many of us do labor on and often unrecognized, which is a parallel to the idea of Labor Day, where the unrecognized and the faithful work to build the foundations of this country, and that the laborer, not only in the world, but also in the church, are the grassroots of success. Those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Lose it. How do I do that? Or I'm not sure I can do that. Is Jesus asking us to neglect, give up everything in our life in order to follow him? Maybe even our family in order to serve God? We can all agree that the gospel is not for wimps. It's not easy to do all the things we have to do to survive in this world and serve God. When Peter challenges the truth of Jesus and his death and resurrection, he's flabbergasted. He's like, no, this can't happen. This can't be possible. And Jesus replies to that, you're a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Divine things versus human things. The most common rebuff to a request to serve in a position at church is, I just don't have time right now. Jesus tells us we better make time, not just on Sunday, but every day. So how can we do that? Some of us really don't have another minute in the day that they can offer to do a job at church. And this is the great disconnect. Because we take on a job for the gospel, it is not just something that pertains to the running of the church. When we take on the challenge to live and spread the gospel, it means that every day is filled all that we do for the glory of God. All of our labors are for God, and we offer them all to the Creator. Yes, even our daily jobs, where we can't quite fit something for the church, and we might want to rethink that and realize that somehow our daily jobs probably fit in just fine with what it is we're supposed to do as disciples. No matter what we do for a living, it in some way contributes to the relationship between one another and with God. That's something to think about. For some people, there's just a disconnect. Church is Sunday, and the world, the rest of the week, is for real work. And what Jesus is saying is that there cannot be a disconnect. We can't say our family on one hand and our God on the other. They must go hand in hand. Then if we put both in the hand of God, our Sunday life and our weekday life go hand in hand with God. So to put God before all things is not a command that minimizes the love or responsibility that we have for our loved ones. It is a command that maximizes the riches that we can find in our relationship with our families and the world. When we put God first, it allows us to make sense of the world, and all of our labors become labors for our Lord and Savior. So do you believe what goes on in our St. Francis family can help you get through the challenges of the week at home and at work? Do you believe that what you do on Sunday matters as much as what you do during the week? I'm so glad you asked. Yes, is the answer to those questions. What you do every day is sacred. Your labor is holy. No matter what your job, no matter how much it pays or doesn't pay, no matter where you work, if you put God first, all that you do is holy and sacred. God is at work in you, and as you do God's work, God works in the world. For us as Christians, nothing is complete without the love of God flowing through every fiber of our being, every corner of our life. Putting God first does not shortchange our relationship with the world. It enhances it. When we put God first, we can focus on setting our mind on divine things and not human things. So here's another question. How many of us look forward to Sunday morning? Is the sense that we have to get up and go to church? Or are we like, yes, we get to go to church today? One thing that I find amazing about this congregation is that each one of you really wants to be here, and each one of you gets what it means to be part of the body of Christ. You show up here to get refueled for the week. This makes such a difference in how you live Monday through Saturday. It means that God is working in all the stuff that you do, even if it seems completely remote from anything that even begins to resemble the gospel. To take up the cross in our life journey is often thought of as being willing to accept suffering, sacrifice. Alan Culpepper states in the New Interpreter's Bible, the language of the cross bearing has been corrupted by overuse. Bearing a cross has nothing to do with chronic illness, painful physical conditions, or trying family relationships. It is instead what we do voluntarily as a consequence of our commitment to Jesus Christ. And following that, Sermons at Work says, the cross doesn't mean to us now what it did then, before Jesus ever hung on one. Back then, the cross was an instrument of torture, of fear, and of death. To take up a cross was to meet death face to face. Today, taking up the cross is an action that overcomes death, claims victory over death. So taking up the cross is not about bearing suffering in our lives. It's about allowing our entire life to be shaped by the promise to follow Jesus. Our cross to bear is not a cross of pain. See, Jesus did that for us. The cross we take up is the testimony to the world about Jesus' victory over death. Take the cross and follow me. Peter did not understand what Jesus was saying about his death and resurrection. Peter just didn't want Jesus to die. You can't die. Don't die on me. But see, we know the end of the story. Peter didn't know. Peter didn't know that death will come for Jesus, but that will not be the end, but rather the beginning. Death doesn't get the final word. Because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we will not die, but we will live with him for eternity. Amen.